my handheld mobile device or listening to my local Clear Channel affiliate, I'm definitely tuned to WBAI, listener-supported non-commercial radio in New York City, 99.5 FM.
In other news...
to determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. On this show, we've talked in depth about the idea that most of us are subjugated into a modern slave system, but usually with a vague reference to the power structure, using terms such as bankers or elites. Our guest, Dr. Sean Ross, brings a tighter focus on those terms through his research exposing the world's most dangerous mafia, the Pharistocracy. He says, we are slaves, and they rule the world. Their base is Switzerland. According to Sean's research, the last stronghold of the Templars fell on May 18, 1291. 2 months later, Switzerland was founded. The Templar treasure was hidden in Switzerland, through which the Swiss banks were founded, and all subsequent and future wars are financed. Sean Ross also points out that the families currently in places of control within the Swiss banking system's upper tiers have bloodline connections to ancient Egyptian pharaohs, hence Sean's use of the term pharistocracy. Our guest, Dr. Sean Ross, has been producing hundreds of videos exposing the symbolism, art, monuments, and memorials throughout major cities in Europe, but you'll also get rare glimpses into the backyards of mansions. Some of his visual work reveals hidden courtyards festooned with bloodline crests and occultist artwork. As you may have guessed, producing and uploading this level of high-quality video exposing the secret Swiss aristocracy and the real connections with the global banking system has come at a high price. Dr. Sean Ross has been a political prisoner in Switzerland. He was tortured while in prison and has been homeless for 2 years. He does need help currently, as you will hear in this interview. His email is swisstorture@gmail.com. Sean, welcome to Another News.
Thank you.
Let's start from the beginning. How did you get interested in researching secret societies and their symbols hidden in plain sight?
Well, something in me, you know, since I've been 5 years old, I always wanted to stop the injustice in the world and the and all these wars going on. I saw at a very early age, I saw about the concentration camps and all that. Since a very early age, I wanted to do something. I'm not just a talker, but I do things. And secondly, I'm from a very rich family, and I saw, you know, what's going on behind the screens, you know, friends of my parents. And then thirdly, it's a bit the essence of a martyr. I had very rough times in my life, and this is really a wake-up call for some people, you know, if things don't go right in your lives, you know, it's the essence of being a martyr.
At some point, you were able to determine that there's something going on within secret groups that are controlling the world. How old were you when that realization happened?
Already at a very early age, you know, it started from the age from at 5 years old, you know.
I see. So, Sean, for full disclosure for listeners at this point, it was very difficult to arrange this interview for a number of bizarre reasons, but primarily it's that you're homeless and you're actually in a McDonald's in France, Strasbourg, France. That's how we're doing this interview. The manager was kind enough to let you use the phone, but we've been communicating through Skype and with a six-hour difference, and we managed to just line things up right now. It's almost 6 o'clock in the evening over there. You've been homeless for 2 years, but you're also making incredible videos and posting them. Just give listeners some context there of how you became homeless.
Yeah. First of all, my YouTube channels are Gure, that's G-I-U-R-E-H, and Chatzefratz, that's C-H-A-T-Z-E-F-R-A-T-Z. Well, you won't remember that. So the easiest thing is to go into a film, which is called one of my videos. I've got 700, which is called Auschwitz Made in Switzerland. That's easy to remember. And then you get to my one channel. And if you look there in my channel, you see the videos are like, and then you get to my other channel. And, you know, because I reveal too many things, I'm a historian. So the elite who are in Switzerland, which is their base, where all the money is, all the NGOs are in Switzerland, they didn't like it very much, what I was doing. So they sent me an anti-terrorist squad. They arrested me many times. I was a political prisoner because of my videos. For 5.5 years, they tortured me in prison by oxygen deprivation. My hair turned all gray. I got a very bad health. So now I'm in the street since 2 years with a very bad health. I'm sleeping in forests. I can't see my wife and children. I've got 3 children, and they come about like once a month to this French border. And as we don't have any money, we put up the tent with my children, 2 boys, 17 and 15, and the girl, she's only 5 years old. So like refugees because of the terror of the Swiss state. And really, the base of it all is Switzerland. So the New World Order. If there is a New World Order, there must also be an Old World Order. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a New World Order. And there are very few people, mostly they are initiated, who know what the New World Order is. It's the aristocracy who are still ruling the world, and they have the New World Order. And we have to go back at least 1,000 years in history, back in history, to find out where they come from, what their faces are, what their names are, where they come from. I can tell you where they originally come from. And like Mr. Hitler, he said, the Jews, they did it all. They financed the First World War, as many people believe. But it is not true. I'm not a Jew myself, not at all. Hitler was a liar, you know. Actually, the First World War was organized and financed by the aristocracy. It was the Emperor of Germany, William II, who put on a uniform and a helmet with a little obelisk on it, a Pickelhelm, as they say it in German. And he said, now there's a war, and if you refuse, that's what he thought, stupid European, we're going to shoot you in front of a firing squad. There was the Emperor of Austria, Franz Josef. He put on a uniform and a helmet, now there's a war. There was the King of Italy, uniform, helmet, now there's a war. The King of England, uniform, helmet. There was the Tsars of Russia, uniform, helmet, now there's a war. It was the entire aristocracy who always ruled, who pushed us into the war and financed it and organized it. There was no Jew in it. So this is the first thing. So the New World Order, that was 100 years ago, you know, the beginning of the First World War. You have to know that in the aristocracy, there is a law. This is very important to understand the New World Order. And this law is called the primogenitura. That means only the firstborn son. In French, they call it le droit divin, the holy rule. So only the firstborn son, he gets everything. He gets the castle, he gets the land, the power, the jus primae noctis. That means on the first night of your marriage in the Middle Ages, you had to leave your wife in the castle, and they would bang her, the entire aristocracy. This is what happened. The aristocracy have always been torturing us, putting us in the dungeons, terrorizing us, torturing us, raping our women. They've always been doing it. But there were also second, third, and fourth sons, and many, many more, as much as 10 or 15 in many occasions, with other women other than the queen. So they were not happy at all. And this is why there were many conspiracies in the castles, a lot of backstabbings, poisonings, with aconitum, which is a little flower which grows in the European mountains, and it's more poisonous than a rattlesnake. Apparently, nowadays they say that Cleopatra, she poisoned herself with the aconite. It's like night, the word night in it, like night, goodbye, finished, aconite. Okay. And the firstborn son, the duke, the count, the marquis, or the king, he didn't want the second, third, and fourth sons anymore in his castle. in the court. It was too dangerous. So he kicked them all out. They were not happy at all. And in the Middle Ages, there were only three things. There was the aristocracy, the people, and the church. And of course, these guys, an aristocrat, they didn't want to seek refuge within the people, because there you have to work, and you're up to your neck into the cow shit, or even the pig shit, and not enough to eat. And an aristocrat basically doesn't work then and still today, and there are millions of them. So they went into a monastery, and at a certain time in the monastery, there were so many of them, they said, we are in a monastery, which is a temple of God, so we are the Templars. And we're going to make a new system that every one of us in the aristocracy can be the king for a period of 4, 5, or 7 years, depending the country in which you are. And we're going to vote. But none of us can vote, they said, because we all know what's going on. And one of them said, I've got a good idea. We let the people vote because they're so stupid. They're never going to understand what's happening. And at the same time, we make them think that the people are ruling. So this is what became the democracy. But for us, the people, there is no democracy. It's only for our still aristocratic lords that they can be elected democratically. And that's it. Final. And the Templars, where did they go to? The French king, Philip the Fair, Philippe le Bel, on a Friday the 13th, this is why we say Friday the 13th as a bad day. He arrested all the Templars in France, but he got hold of only 325. And that was on Friday the 13th of October, 1307. 7 years later, many of them got burnt in 1314. So 1307. But as these guys were not stupid, only 16 years before, and these are very important dates to understand the whole picture of it all. So 16 years before the arrest, there was the first big police action in the entire European or human history, all over France and even abroad. There was a letter being sent out a month before, which could only be opened on that very date of Friday, the 13th of October, 1307, which they did. It didn't leak out. And they got, 325 got arrested. Amongst them, Jacques de Molay, he was the last grand maître of the Templars. And he got burned in Paris. So, 16 years before that, because they saw it all coming, they founded Switzerland on August the 1st, 1291. And 1291 is a very important year, because this is the end of the Crusades. The last stronghold of the Templars in the Middle East was Acres, in French, Saint-Jean d'Acre, next to a Templar's castle, Crac de Chevalier. And Saint-Jean d'Acre, or Acres, fell on May 18th, 1291. Only 2.5 months later, just the time to get back to Europe, they founded Switzerland on August the 1st, which is a national holiday. It's their July 4th. In 1291, which is their founding date. If you find, 1291 in the internet, you know there are Swiss neo-Nazis behind it, because that's their code. If you add it up, you get the number 13, like people who are into numerology or sort of these sort of things. Right. And if you look at the Swiss flag, they got the same colors, red and white, you know, as the Templars, only the Templars had a red cross as... It's also in Switzerland, in Geneva, they got the Red Cross, you know, to help people, what they say. The Swiss cross is a white cross on a red underground. Actually, the same as the Ku Klux Klan, which comes from the Swiss Templars, actually. They got a logo of a Swiss cross in it. So this is a simplified Templars cross. And Switzerland is the only flag in the world which is a square. It's not long, but all sides are equal length, together with the Vatican. And the Vatican, it belongs to Switzerland. And then the Templars afterwards, not very long afterwards, they were the first banks in the world. So of course, the notorious Templars treasure came into Switzerland, with which they founded the Swiss banks. And this is where all the elite is, tax evasion, you name it, you know, the elites in the U.S., they bring their money into Switzerland. They don't pay any more taxes. As an aristocrat, never paid any taxes. So the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, because it's all going to be on the back of the poor to pay all the taxes, which is not going to be paid anymore by the rich people. And this is Switzerland. All the NGOs in the world, they're all in Switzerland. Even the World Trade Organization, their base, their headquarters are in Switzerland, in Geneva. I saw the place. The United Nations are in Switzerland. The Red Cross, the FIFA, UEFA for the soccer, the Olympic Games in Lausanne, the OMS for the doctors, everything is in Switzerland. All the money is there. And this is why the Nazis, who were actually the Nazi Templars, being the reason that they were so interested in occultism. They were digging in the south of France, in Rennes-le-Château, the famous Rennes-le-Château, in Bugarache, where they were waiting in 2012, the end of the world. There were 10,000 of people there waiting the end of the world. These are very special places where the SS, they had a special detachment, which was the SS Annenerbe, with at the head the SS Otto Rahn. And Otto Rahn, he had the same hat as Indiana Jones. And this is where Steven Spielberg, he got the information from and the inspiration to do his Indiana Jones videos. And this is why they always show Nazis who are digging for the Holy Grail and the Ark of the Covenant and all these sort of things, which they were really doing. You know, the Germans, they lost the war, but the Nazis and the Swiss, they won it. The gold reserve of Poland and Czechoslovakia, France, it all went to Switzerland, and they never saw it again. Even until today, it has never seen again. There is a big armaments company, the Swiss military industrial complex, which is called Oerlikon. Even American ships, even today, they still got Oerlikon cannons. That's Bühler Oerlikon. And this military industrial complex, this company, has prolonged the Second World War with at least 2 years, producing cannons and flak anti-aircraft cannons and bullets and everything, you know, for the Germans. Mm-hmm. And the owner of this company, his name is Emil Bühler, and today it's worldwide known. Today he still has a wide collection of stolen Nazi art collection. Of people who can't defend themselves anymore for the simple reason that they are not there anymore. And this is also the reason they murdered all the Jews. The Germans don't really have a problem with the Jews. There never were any pogroms in Germany. It's because of the Templars. And these Templars are aristocrats. And guess where they come from, the aristocracy? They come from ancient pharaonic Egypt. That's where they come from. 7 years ago, they found out with the genetic analysis that more than 50% of the Europeans, they have the pharaonic DNA. And people are asking themselves, well, how is this possible? Here is Europe. Here, I'm sitting in France. Here's France. Egypt is over there on the other side of the dip. How is this possible? Well, it's very easy. It's because of the jus primae noctis. On the first night of your marriage, you had to leave. They raped your wife, even before you had her. So this is how the aristocracy, they injected their pharaonic genetics into the whole of our women, if you understand what I mean. So the aristocracy, they are pure pharaohs. And that's why they take decisions in Washington that are not really favorable of the American people. Because you're being ruled by a foreign power, the same here in Europe. And I can also tell you why they call it the Oval Office.
I just want to go back for a minute there before you go into the Oval Office. I think this is one of the most important pieces of your research, because very few people are talking about this, specifically what you call the pharistocracy, the pharaoh lineage within some of the Swiss aristocracy. You said there was 7 years ago there was some genealogy test that showed there was ancient Egyptian connections. Can you talk about that specifically?
Yeah, well, it was about 7 years ago, and they talked a little bit about it in the media, but it got hushed down pretty quickly afterwards. Well, you understand why. And the pharaohs are here, and this is why, you know, their descendants, the Freemasons, who are everywhere on key positions, they always show pyramids, obelisks, the all-seeing eye, Isis, Horus, the symbols of their ancestors. That they are pharaohs. The Freemasons are pharaohs. Maybe except if you have like a fifth degree or 10th degree, and if you're just useful, you know, like stabbing the people in the back and being part of that organization. But most certainly at the top of this organization, they are purely pharaohs. And this is the way they rule us. Every politician is a Freemason. There's no exception. Only some of them say it and some of them don't. And in the Freemasons, they have a lot of secret symbology. And one of them is the Vesica Pisces, which are basically, there's a lot of people coming in here. They don't know I'm doing the interview.
That's okay. Let's keep going as long as we can, Sean.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Je fais juste un interview avec New York. Alors, Thomas Ilsel. Merci, madame. The Vesica Pisces is the, it's like the rings, you know, touching each other. And like Audi cars, you know, they're four rings, or MasterCard or Gucci. And this means we are an organization. We are a chain of rings. And you, stupid European or stupid American, you're standing alone. And we are very organized. You Europeans, you're always alone. And this is what it means. And in between the rings, there is an oval. You know, if you picture two rings, like Audi, there's an oval being formed. So this is why you have the Oval Office. There's no other reason. And the pharaohs, this is very important. The pharaohs had two empires. In the south, they had the Upper Egypt. And in the north, there was Lower Egypt, where Cairo is and the Mediterranean. Because the Nile, it's upper and lower, because the Nile is floating from wet, higher to lower, yeah? It's always going into the Mediterranean, finally, around there. So the name of Upper Egypt in Demotic, I studied the Demotic language, there's a word demos in it, like in democracy, which does not exist. There's only democracy for our aristocratic lords, that they can be elected democratically. For us, there's no democracy. They do what they want. So back to that pharaonic empire, mm-hmm. In Demotic, the word demos is in it, meaning the people in Greek. And they had a written language because the hieroglyphs are only for the temple. So the gods and the demons, they can see the pictures and the evil images of gods and demons and all that. So the name of the Upper Egypt is the Per-Het in Demotic. And Per, it means the house, and Het, it means white. This is why you have the White House in America. And they're all pharaohs. And that's why it has an enormous obelisk. The Washington Monument of 110 meters high. And the obelisk is the symbol of the pharaonic domination. The pharaonic domination. Yeah. And in the north, they had the Bertasser, meaning the Red House. And they were having a war with each other. And the Red House, they were having a small red crown. As the White House, they were having a long white crown. There's a lot of people walking around here. So they were having wars with each other, and they said, "Now we're going to stop doing all these wars because we're going to make we're going to conquer the world." So they founded the United Kingdom of Pharaoh with the white and the red crown all together, and it is the White and Red House of Pharaoh. So when they came to the center of Europe, they said, "This is going to be our neutral place in the center of Europe, because we're never going to make any wars there. It's always going to be neutral, because we're going to hide it all there, and all the NGOs are there. It's going to be our base." And this is why there's a German-speaking part of Switzerland, you know, to interact to the north and terrorize the peoples in the north. There is a French-speaking part for the west, you know, to infiltrate the west. Italian-speaking part to the east, to the south. And there's a Rhetoromanic part to the east, so they can go into all directions. But the pharaohs, they also had a third crown, which was the blue crown, the war crown. That's why we have the United Nations blue helmets. So all the peoples who do wars for these pharaohs. They've got these three colors in their flags, red, white, and blue, all imperialist colonizing countries, like America, red, white, and blue, England, France, the Netherlands, Russia, is all red, white, and blue. And red doesn't mean our spoiled blood or something, and white, the transpiration, and blue, our tears. No, it's all pharaonic.
Sean, thank you for going into that research. And again, this is just at the top of your head, and this is what you've been looking into and researching for many years, and also living the part and producing the hundreds of videos that you post online. Sean, can you give out your YouTube handle again and let listeners know where they can find some of your videos?
Yeah, so my channels are Giure, G-I-U-R-E-H, and I've got videos on it like Auschwitz Made in Switzerland or Pharistocracy, not aristocracy, but Pharistocracy, because the aristocracy, they're purely pharaonic. They got blue blood. They don't talk to us. They only marry with each other. They always had all the power. And before 100 years ago, it was the old world's order of the firstborn son, the king. And since 100 years, or it, also before, since 1776 in your country and 1789 in France, we are in the new world order. And really, since 100 years, we are 100% in it.
Regarding the pharaohs and the lineage and the bloodline that you're pointing out, is there any specific dynasty within the ancient Egyptian history that is specific to this lineage?
There's only one dynasty, and it's called the Per-A. The word pharaoh, it comes from Per-A. Upper Egypt is the Per-Het, and Per, it means the house. And Per-A, A, it means big or pregnant. So it means the big house, Per-A. The word pharaoh, etymologically, it comes from Per-A. And this is the only lineage there is. For instance, Paris, it's come from Per-Isis or Per-Isis. It means the house of Isis. And you find it everywhere. I explain in my film, The Pharaoh Show, where the word America, A-me-ri-ka, that it is entirely pharaonic. Like ah, it means big or pregnant. Me is the word for pyramid. Ri is the word for the sun. And ka is the soul, the word for the soul when alive, buys the soul when dead. So America, when you read it from backwards to forwards, it means the translation is the reincarnation of the big pyramid will take place where our souls will live. I mean, look at the dollar. Oh, they're slamming the doors here. It's hard to concentrate, but I'll do my best.
You're doing great, Sean.
Thanks, Jeff. It's important to wake people up, and that's why I'm doing it. It's very hard for me to collect my energy, to collect my mind. I'm basically living in this. I'm all the time. I'm sleeping in forest. I'm very tired. It's very difficult. I want to continue my work, and I can't continue my work because I don't have a place with a computer. So if there's anybody out there who knows somebody in Europe or has a house in Europe where I can continue to work, and best is in France because people really leave you alone in France, but they're not very helpful. I need help, and the work I do it for you all.
Yes, it's important that the work that you do continues, and hopefully people can reach out to you. But let listeners know how you can be contacted.
On my channel, if you punch about us in my channel, there's my email, and there you can contact me. My email is swisstorture@gmail.com.
SwissTorture@gmail.com. That's S-W-I-S-S, torture, the word torture, and at gmail.com. Got it.
Exactly. And my name is Sean Ross. Ross with an H in front of it. My name, I don't do any anonymous. I put my name in my channel. That's why I had so many problems. Well, so they sent me a many times an anti-terrorist squad put me in prison. And
let's go back to that, if you don't mind, if we can get into that a little bit more, because if listeners need to understand that you're walking around with a camera and you're choosing specific areas in certain cities that have either war memorials, specific sculptures, and you're really breaking it down and showing the detail, the history, the symbology, the numerology, maybe the sacred geometry and the location on Earth grid where these monuments occur. A lot of people don't do that, but also you do connect into the Swiss and the aristocracy. Very few people have made that connection, and it's extremely important, I think, that people know, especially when a lot of researchers are looking into the banking system and what the banking system is really about. So I just want to give a little context there. And from there, you became a target. And was there a specific video that they went after you for?
Well, of course, they say, you know, in Switzerland, they say, well, we are neutral and clean. We're so innocent. We never did anything, you know. This is what the devil does best, you know, to portray himself as being innocent. And that's what the Swiss always did. What they did, they lied some stuff together, because only based upon my videos, they couldn't really put me in prison. I went out and I got arrested by cops who beat me. And then they said that I aggressed them and these sort of things. They just lied a lot of things together. In my entire life, I tell you, I've never seen so many organized lies and so much evil as in Switzerland. I would never say this about any race or any people in the world. I've traveled a lot of people. You know, here in France, there are a lot of owls. There are some good people here. They're not very helpful, but on the other side, they leave you alone. So there are good things and bad things. The manager is French here. Let me stay here in his office. But the Swiss, I tell you, I've never seen this. These people are evil. They've got an alliance with evil. And this is why the Nazis, they never took Switzerland. I mean, for the Nazis to invade Poland instead of Switzerland is like living to the central bank and rob the snack bar next to it. And I can tell you how they financed the Nazis. This is very important for you Americans. You had the Wall Street crash in 1929. So you have to look at the itinerary, what happened before. I just closed the door again. I have to stand up all the time. It's like a church here. Nobody closes the door. McDonald's church.
Right.
So in 1929, in September 29th, there was Black Thursday and all that. What happened 1 month before, 1 or 2 months before? This is very important. You had a new president, the big man on the key position. His name was Herbert Hoover. His real name was Huber, Swiss, of Swiss descent, just like the other Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover. They also call him Gay Edgar Hoover, which he was. With his spell, they always walked around with in the same jacket and the same colors. That's what homos do. So 2 months before, Herbert Hoover, he became the president. And so they had the man in the key position, and they wanted to do the Second World War, and then they could do it. So they robbed the savings of honest Americans during the Wall Street crash. But the money didn't disappear. It just ended up in somebody else's pocket. And it went to the Federal Reserve, which is the central bank of America. But to transfer the money into Europe to finance Hitler's war industry with it, it needed a central bank of all the central banks in the world. And this bank was founded in Switzerland. It was Hitler's bank. It was founded by Hjalmar Schacht. He was a 33-degree Freemason of aristocratic descent, of course. The Nazis never murdered the Freemasons. It's, you know, maybe some lower degrees, but this guy was a 33-degree, and he went on doing it the whole war. So just a couple of months after the Wall Street crash, they founded the BIS, which is the Bank of International Settlements, in Basel, in the motherland. So that's where your money went to. It never disappeared. And only this explains the incredible rise of the Nazi war industry, which can't be explained otherwise, because the poor Germans, they just suffered a economical crisis of more than 10 years. Children died, people starved. So they were emptying in their bellies. If you're emptying your belly, you're also emptying your head. So they could fill their heads up, you know, this is one of their tricks. So they could fill their heads up with all the Nazi propaganda and anti-Semitic propaganda, racism and all that. And the Germans just believed this. But they were only the right hand of it. They were not the head. The head of the whole thing was Switzerland, and they won the war. And it's because of the Templars, who are basically pharaohs. So, you know, the itinerary, you got a new president, Herbert Hoover. I did comparisons in one of my videos with Herbert Hoover and J. Edgar Hoover. They've got exactly the same head. They're from the same lineage, the same people, basically. And then 3 months after, they had the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bank of all the central banks in the world. And this is how they could steal your money. That's where it went to Switzerland. Clean, honest, neutral Switzerland of the Templars.
Did you do research on the Dulles brothers and their Swiss background?
Alan Dulles, he was the first director of the CIA, yeah. I did a film about it, and he's from a Swiss, not a Swiss-German family, usually they're Swiss-German, but from a Swiss aristocratic Geneva family, very wealthy, very influential. And he spent all his, the wartime, Second World War, he spent in Bern, Switzerland, where I used to live as well, next to Bern, which is the capital of Switzerland. There's the word bear in it, Bern. And a very important thing to do is to know, at the same time when Alan Dulles, he became, I think in 1948, the first director of the CIA, you had another a Swiss president at the same time, or just a couple of years after, that was Eisenhower, of Swiss descent. So then again, they had all their men on all key positions in the United States. It's a bit noisy here. There's a shift of personnel, so it's a bit hard to concentrate, but I'll go on.
Okay, I just want to give listeners a bit of a background here. If somebody's just tuning in, we're speaking with Sean Ross. His YouTube channel, one of his channels, is called Schatze Fratz, Schatze Fratz. Sean is a deep researcher in connecting the pharaoh lineage into the Templars and also into the Freemason and the Swiss and the dominant society at this point. But also, we're interviewing him at a McDonald's. That's why you'll hear a lot of background noise, and we're trying to get through this interview. So we were talking about Alan Dulles.
There's a very important issue connected to it, which is the MK Ultra, the Monarch Ultra, the brainwashing thing. All the terrorist attacks and the American shootings in high schools, it's all happening through this project. MK, it means Monarch. Est-ce que vous pouvez fermer la porte? C'est un interview, je suppose. Bang. Okay, I'm quiet now. There was a shift. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was also 1948. They invented LSD, and they didn't know what to do with it. That's one of the ingredients of MK Ultra. Monarch. Monarch, meaning a king. So it's the aristocracy. They even put their name into the MK Ultra. They are behind it, you know. And they understand these signs. We don't. So they didn't know. LSD was also invented in Basel, just as the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements. They didn't know what to do with it. You know, it's not necessarily good for a human being. You can't make a cream out of it for the skin. You know what to do with it. And they invested a lot of money in the research. So how commercialize it? And they had an idea because it's a psychotropic drug. So they knew at the same time the Cold War started off, and this new CIA, they needed a drug to extract information from a KGB agent. But to sell this important drug, product, the LSD, you need a experiment or a sample. It's not ethically right. It's forbidden to do experiments on people. So what did they do? In 1951, they poisoned an entire French town with the LSD. They put it in the flour for the French baguette, the French bread. So, and Le Pont Saint-Esprit, pont, it means the bridge, and Saint-Esprit, it means the Holy Spirit. It's a bridge from the Middle Ages, built by the Templars. It's 1.2 kilometers, almost a mile. Even trucks drive over it nowadays. It's still there. It's very strong. It's going over the Rhone River, a very big river going through the almost entire France, or half of France. And these Templars, they never forget anything, just like the Swiss. They never forget anything except their own crimes. They forget them very easily. So they still had, with this town, they still had some vengeance to do, because they were betrayed by the French people and sold out to the French king. And they got all rounded up in 1307. They invested a lot of time and energy to construct this bridge. So this was the town they picked out to do this experiment with the LSD, to sell this sample to the CIA. So the people, they took their baguette in the morning, put some butter on it, or some cheese, or some marmalade, or whatever, and they turned completely crazy. A boy, 11 years old, strangled his grandmother. People jumped off from the third floor. People saw snakes coming out of their stomach. Hundreds of people ended their days in psychiatric wards. They never got out of it anymore. And then the CIA, Alan Dulles, at the head of it, and Eisenhower, also Swiss, on another key position, they said, this is a good product, we buy it. And this is what they use. They basically do when there is a high school shooting in America. They are only a pretext to take the guns away, the Second Amendment. And here, the terrorist attacks, well, I mean, there's a Latin saying, a proverb, is facit cui prodest. That means, to whom profit the crime? Well, certainly not the Arabs. It doesn't profit them. You know, they it only give them a lot of problems in society and a lot of wars and a lot of bloodshed. But they're all geostrategical wars. The opium in Afghanistan, the oil in Iraq, and that's what it's all about. And with the terrorist attack, they have a pretext to continue their wars. So the American army, with the psychiatrists, they found out, coming back to the MK Ultra. They found out when a American soldier, like during the Korean War or something else, or by the Nazis, by the Gestapo, got tortured, the soldier, he got completely crazy. A schizophrenia takes place because the pain is too intense and you're all tied up. You want to run away with your body, but you can't because you're all tied up. Your hands, your torso, your torso, your legs. So you can only run in your head, and you go to a place in your head where there's no pain, a place where you've never been in your head, as we use about only 20% of our brain resources. So a schizophrenia takes place, and an entirely new personality will be created. And this is what they do. They kidnap somebody, like here in Europe, they kidnap some Arab. A tiny criminal, you know, but a handbag, stealing handbags of ladies or something like that, or stealing cars or something like this. And they take him out of his cell in the middle of the night. Then they tie him up and bring him to a laboratory with the doctors and all this. And they administer LSD, and then they start to torture him. So this schizophrenia, the new identity, will take place. The guy, he gets so crazy, he goes to this part of his brain where there's no pain, and a new page, which is completely blank, you know, there's no, it's white. So they can fill it in the way they want. So they put some goggles with a video on the guy's head, and they show a bearded Muslim who empties his assault rifle, his AK-47, in the middle of Paris. When they're finished with this guy, or somebody from the Columbine High School, and they all had Prozac, they were all on Prozac and other antidepressants. Well, when they're finished with this guy, the only thing they can do is empty their assault rifle. And this is why there were very serious witnesses in Paris in big English newspapers who witnessed after the shooting. These guys were just standing there like, mission accomplished. There's no more in the hard disk. Finished. End of story. The same thing. And then the cops came, you know, dirty cops, and they killed the truth, most of it all, because the man alive would have been worth far more than dead. The same thing happened in Nice. We all see the picture of the guy sitting in his truck, and he's just sitting there with 20 cops around him, and they just shot him to pieces. This guy didn't even know where he was. He didn't know what to do anymore. Just mission accomplished. Nothing more in the hard disk, and they murdered the truth, most of all. And if you look at the Nice killings of about 100 people, you know, you can look it up in Google now. More than 50% of the victims are Arabic. They're Arabic, you know, they're not even Europeans.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, look it up. It's all a lie. Everything is a lie, and their base is Switzerland of it all, where it's all... You know, the Swiss, you know, Hitler said once, if I want, I can take Switzerland with the fire department of Berlin. You know, he was joking. Yeah? My film, Auschwitz Made in Switzerland, it starts with a very rare picture of Mr. Hitler when he was in Zurich in 1923, where he was financed by a Swiss general called Ulrich Wille, who married into the high German aristocracy of von Bismarck. So this is why the Nazis, they never invaded Switzerland. But nobody wants it because it's the base of Pharaoh. It's the base of the Nazis. It's the base of the Templars. That's where they went to. You know, here, I'm here in Strasbourg, and in Strasbourg they got a school, which is called Lena. All the French presidents, it's a president school. They all go there. It's called L'École Nationale de l'Administration. They got two schools. Even international presidents, they attend this school. Maybe some American presidents, they went here as well. And guess what? This school here in Strasbourg, they got two of them, one in Paris and one in Strasbourg, which is the European capital together with Brussels. And guess what? It's in a former Templars commandery. And I went there, I filmed that, I put it on my YouTube channel. Maybe you saw it.
What's the title?
Lena, so E-N-A, Strasbourg Templar commandery. Something, if you punch these keywords in, it pops out.
I'll look for it.
Yeah. Of course, immediately the security guys in uniforms, they came out only because I was filming there. Well, you know, this type of things, yeah. Because I talked very well. The night before, I talked with the chief security. He was a former cop. Because I talked about the Templars, he liked very much what I was saying. He thought he could learn something, yes. Which he apparently did, of course. So he invited me in. So, because I did some good talking. If he would have known who I really was, they would have arrested me. So he let me in. And then because he was so proud, you know, because I talked about the Templars, he drew his Android or, you know, iPad or iPhone, whatever the name is, smartphone. And very, very proud as he was, he showed himself in a Templar's dress with the gladio with the Templar sword. And wow. He said, I'm a Templar. We still exist. Yeah. So I profited from the situation. I asked him, for you Templars, what does Switzerland mean? What does Switzerland represent? Without hesitating, he said, the refuge. That's where we went to, the hideout. But of course, I couldn't film that. But he told me that I had to be very careful, you know, not to overdo it.
Sean, one of the recurring symbols is the octagon, and would you tell listeners why that shape is significant and how its geometry is found embedded in much of the Freemason and Knights Templar symbols?
Good question, Jeff. Thank you for reminding me. Excellent. Yeah, I went this year to I uploaded it. I went to many Templars' commanderies. Some of it was very dangerous. I was lucky to came out of it alive. I was in the Templars commandery and the chapel of the Templars in Lens, which is a town in the north of France. There, in France, there are really thousands of Templars commanderies and chapels and Templars farms. There are thousands of them. They were the first multinationals. And this one, a peculiar one, and normally they should all be octagonal. It really was octagonal. Why? Because if you draw a line around a Templar's cross or around a Swiss cross, the same thing, you get an octagonal form. And so a Templar's commandery, it should be done in an octagonal form. And even in the Bible, you know, in the revelations of John, they talk about that the seventh beast is also the eighth beast, you know, like presenting the octagon, the eighth beast. And they talk about that the beast has, well, the whore of Babylon is sitting on it. And this beast is scarlet, which is the Vatican, many people think. And she, Isis, of course, the whore of Babylon, and Switzerland, the Templars called it, they gave the name of Switzerland. As they were speaking French, they called it Suisse, Suisse. It's the French word for Switzerland, and Suisse, it means Sœur d'Isis, the sisters of Isis. And then the Swiss Germans, they call it Schwitz, Schwester de Isis, which became Switzerland from Switzerland, or many in before in English language, many people called it the land of the Switzers. So these Isis, or the whore of Babylon, sitting on that beast, that means the beast is the Vatican, and that means the Vatican belongs to Switzerland. They have a Swiss police in the Vatican. They have a Swiss guard only. They are the rulers of the Vatican. Because the Templars, they are the military wing. And to consolidate their powers under peace times, they needed a political wing. So they founded the Freemasons. And they also needed a religious wing, which is the Vatican, also under Swiss control, as it is pictured even in the Bible 2,000 years ago in the revelations of John. And they also have a financial wing, of course, the Swiss banks. And founded with the Templar's treasure. And the Templar's treasure, they came from the pyramids. And as they knew that their ancestors, they still had a lot of goodies over there. And they didn't share it with the French kings. He was pretty annoyed by it and arrested them all because they didn't share it, one of the reasons, and they wanted to have all the power. Yeah, so this is why it's octagon. And you can see this in my film, Octagon, the Empire of Darkness, on my channel, Chatsifras. And most of the badges of police forces, army forces, they are octagonal. The cops in New York City, they got an octagonal cap. It's because they are Templars. They don't care about the people. They are like the slave drivers with an octagonal Templar's cap. The English bobbies, they also have on their bobby hats, they got an octagonal form. I was arrested in Auschwitz because they didn't want to let me in. I filmed it on my YouTube channel. And because I had my big backpack, two backpacks, with, you know, I was there in the winter in Auschwitz. And they said, well, you can't come in with your backpack, so you must leave it in that little house there. I said, I'm not going to leave my stuff there. I need my tent. If I lose it, I'm dead. I hitchhiked all the way there. It took me a whole week through Czechoslovakia and Austria and south of Poland, in Oświęcim, as they call it, Auschwitz. So I didn't leave my stuff there. And I tried to get into Auschwitz, you know, like skipping the fences. So I made one fence and a second fence. I was in. And I got arrested by the internal Auschwitz police, who had an octagonal badge. So I know that the ones who killed all those poor people in there and murdered and tortured them, it's still the same ones earning money with it. The whole town of Auschwitz, they're living off it. The hotels, the restaurants, the everything, the whole town lives on it. And it's still the same ones. That's what I learned by seeing that octagon badge, which you can see on my YouTube channel. The Germans lost the war, but the Nazi Templars, they won it. They're still there. And they are behind the terrorist attacks. And we have to wake up. It's already too late, I think. You know, we have to wake up and do something because it's all a lie. We, as they pointed out in the Georgia Guidestones, well, they're going to diminish humanity onto 500 million only, and they're going to do it. Just as Hitler, he announced everything in his book, Mein Kampf. They announced everything in the Georgia Guidestones. We're in the state of Georgia. They're going to kill us all. Stand up before it's too late. And the information is the only weapon we have at this moment, because where are you going to aim at if you don't know the face, their name, where do they come from? And you can find it in my videos. And I want to do it. I did it in French in a video which is called Enfer Suisse Satanique. I put it all together in one two-hour video, very densely, and I want to do that in English too, so you only have to watch a two-hour video, but I don't have a place where I can work. So please, somebody stand up and contact me. And so I don't have a passport, so I can't make it to the U.S. Here in France, if you know somebody, or in Belgium or in Italy or in Luxembourg, there's about some places where I can go to. I want to continue my work, and I do it for you. I do it for humanity, for our children. I also have three children. And I want to tell you how they got, this is very important too, how they got rid of the old world order. Well, the old world order, the King of France, he was very, very strong, and he had his men everywhere. The last king was Louis the 16th. So how to get rid of him? By the second, third, and fourth sons organizing in the Freemasons and the Templars. As he was too strong, and he had his eyes on the people everywhere through loyal aristocrats, they couldn't get him. He was, you know, he was the king after all. He had an army at his disposal. So they used an intermediary. So they tortured the French people. They took all their food away. They got crazy. They were tortured by Swiss mercenaries, which is a historical fact, in La Bastille, the French prison in Paris. So the people finally stood up when they saw their children dying. Just the same thing as they did with the Germans before the Second World War, as they did with the Russian before, you know, the Russian Revolution and the Red Terror. They always starve the people to death first, so they get crazy, so they can put all information into their head. So the people stood up against the king. He lost his head. He never understood why, because he thought being good to the people, though he could never go and see if the people were really doing well, but he was lied to. So until the very last moment, when his head fell into the basket, and his wife Marie Antoinette from Austria as well, he never understood why. And this is why the New World Order took place in 1789 in France, and a couple of years in 1776, entirely organized by Lafayette and the French. The American New World Order, America was founded in 1776, organized by the French aristocracy, basically, even before their own New World Order a couple of years, 13 years later, 1789. So this is why the French, they said, they took the slogan, Liberté, Fraternité, Égalité. That means freedom, liberty, equality, égalité, and fraternity, fraternité, which is not for us. There's no freedom for us. If there's a war, they push us in a war. You have no choice, or they shoot you. If they go for your identity card, you have no choice, or they shoot you. So liberty, it means we, the aristocracy, including the second, third, and fourth sons, this is the slogan of the New World Order, we, the aristocrats, we have all the liberty to be the king for a period of, or the president, yeah, for 4, 5, or 7 years. And fraternity, there are no more brother killings. We're all brothers, fraternity. No more brother killings between the second, third, and the fourth sons and the firstborn son who got all the power. And equality, we are all equal. There's no more difference between the firstborn son, the second, third, and the fourth sons. In the Middle Ages, we had thousands of years of wars only because of this. But we didn't know this. Only because one lord, or the second and the third, wanted to have the power. And we had to fight their wars. And the First and the Second World War, it was all about this. It was not about anything else. It was only an internal quarrel of our feudal masters from ancient Egypt. And this is why I went there 1 month ago. I went to Colmar, which is a little bit south of Strasbourg, where Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi, the guy who made the Statue of Liberty for America, where he lived, and there's also a Statue of Liberty. So the next time I've got the occasion, I'll upload that for you. I filmed it.
Okay.
And so this is why they call it the Statue of Liberty, because of the French slogan, Liberté, Fraternité, Égalité. This is why. So all of them can be the president for another 4 years. This is what the Statue of Liberty means, and I can tell a lot more about it. Yes, Jeff.
First of all, thank you for the courageous research that you're doing. And it's not without consequences. This is very difficult work that you're doing. Could you give listeners, again, your contact information, your email?
Too bad it's over, Jeff. I can talk for another 2 hours. I've got some more important things to say.
Well, we would definitely want to have you back on to continue this. I'm happy to do that.
Yes, I'll give you my my email again. Thank you, Jeff.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff.